Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Sowing the seeds of cannabis and sounding the praise of our favorite plant, it's time to Hemp Present. Our radio resident hemposapien Vivian McPeak will present a weekly platform for guests and listeners to Hemp Present about hemp and cannabis from the legal, activist, and reformist route. Let's round up and roll it up for our headmaster of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
Welcome to the Hemp Present Resistance, the weekly radio podcast where you can get your PhD in THC because you don't just want to burn it, you want to learn it. Seeking to defeat the alternative facts of prohibition, one interview at a time, and advocating for the plant, the whole plant, and nothing but the plant. Join me for a weekly reefer radio rebellion against prohibition as I speak with some of the principal risk takers, movers and shakers, and history makers of the global cannabis industry, culture, and reform movement. I'm your host, Vivian McPeak. I am the executive director of the world's largest annual cannabis policy reform event, the Seattle Hemp Fest, entering its 27th year, founded hempfest.org. I'm also the author of the book Protestable, a 20-year retrospective of Seattle Hemp Fest from AHA Publishing, also founded hempfest.org. Today's guest on Hemp Present is Rashawn Everett, founder of the Greenwood Project, who will join me in about 60 seconds. It is simply indisputable that our society is and has been historically dominated by, largely controlled by, and unfairly defined by white culture. And while that's been slowly changing in recent years, white culture and its dominant media institutions have historically stereotyped, marginalized, and pigeonholed people of color into a narrow selection of social and industry categories. Characterizations of successful African Americans have tended to be limited to those of a few select categories. But the truth is that there are and have been successful African Americans in virtually all walks of life that have made considerable and equal contributions to our society and beyond. But there remains one particular industry that is currently still alarmingly white, and that is the nascent yet growing cannabis industry. While at this time the American legal cannabis industry is limited to various incarnations in only 8 states, any thorough examination will reveal that, by and large, the people growing, processing, packaging, and retailing legal cannabis are predominantly white people. Bill Piper, a lobbyist for the reform group, the Drug Policy Alliance, recently said that marijuana legalization without racial justice risks being an extension of white privilege. And an investigative report by BuzzFeed claims that as little as 1% of the 3,200 to 3,600 marijuana access points in America are black owned. But perhaps the benefit of the cannabis industry still being in such an early phase of development is that there is still time to change that disparity. There's still an opportunity to carve a cannabis industry that is racially balanced, representative, and integrated. That is something that needs to happen, and my guest today is working to see that important goal become a reality. Rashawn Everett is a management consulting and investment credit analyst with a financial degree from Howard University, and he's the founder and CEO of the Greenwood Project, billed as a revolutionary technology incubator, crowdfunding capital to fund and build high-growth startups led by minority entrepreneurs, and he's also the founder of the Evergreen Project. Everett has been, among other things, making an impact by creating a nonprofit dedicated to including minorities in the cannabis industry. His organization is focused on recruiting and training eligible graduates of historically black colleges and universities to own and fund successful businesses in the cannabis industry. And he's in the virtual Hemp Present studio with me today. Welcome, Rashawn, to Cannabis Radio.
Thank you so much for having me on today, Vivian. Fantastic introduction. We have a lot of work to do, as you mentioned.
Let's start off with, what motivated you to become involved in economics and the world of investment, and specifically black empowerment? Was there a experience that you had, or is it just something that you felt you wanted to do?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think the experiences that I were afforded kind of through college and being able to matriculate through Howard and earn some of the great opportunities working on Wall Street and at Morgan Stanley and Capital One, the experience of kind of seeing how investments take shape and what type of populations and demographics are included in those investments, being able to see that firsthand from the other side kind of revealed the missing gap that was in communities of color. It was really, really evident early on that we lacked access to some of the forms of capital and investments that were available to successful white men.
Possibly one of the advantages of a new emerging industry like the cannabis industry is that there are also new opportunities to kind of break ground and get in on the ground floor and to help influence and form the industry. Do you have an opinion on why the cannabis industry is so dominated by white people?
Yes, because they put so many black people in jail for it already, that there's so few of us left that are still interested in engaged into the industry. And so when you literally lock up the most successful, cannabis entrepreneurs for one reason or the other, you're kind of left with people who aren't as either experienced in the product or are afraid to follow the fate of other family members who have been incarcerated for it before. So it kind of works twofold in that fear of retaliation from the police and kind of black people understanding that some of the rules don't always apply fairly to us, and that even if we do have a medical card or whatever business permit, we're still subject to, I guess, unfair treatment. It's really just scary and intimidating understanding and seeing, like I said, past family, friends, acquaintances in jail for something that you now aspire to be and do. So when you kind of lose that leadership in the industry, it's prevalent. And you kind of think back to some, at least in Los Angeles, some of the leading cannabis brands, they have about 10 years in the game now. The brass knuckles, the heavy hitters, some of the more premier, like I said, it kind of varies based on region. But overall, you'll see that the largest, even today in 2017, although it's an emerging market, have their roots in, 5-10 years before, whether that's just kind of experimenting or building a brand. Obviously they're more full scale and corporate now, but like I said, a lot of those brands started 5, 10, 15 years back, and then people of color don't have that type of history to rely on, unfortunately.
And of course, a lot of the states have laws that bar felons from getting involved in the industry, and as we know, we've disproportionately locked up people in black communities, and there's probably a little bit of a white old boys network thing going on. You think that's a factor?
Oh, definitely. It's even more apparent because we lack traditional funding with marijuana businesses. So if you don't know anyone who has large amounts of liquid capital to kind of invest in, give a chance to explore a new project, you're kind of out of the loop. And that type of capital isn't readily available to people of color. Like I said, we're not talking about just loans, with cannabis businesses.
It requires banking lots of in general, capital.
Yeah. It requires, you know, a high degree of risk. So, you know, when there is money available in communities of color, the very money that is available is reserved for the lowest risk projects, obviously, of which cannabis doesn't apply. So the Old Boys Club is alive and well, and it's most important because they have the money, and it's hard to tap into that network of funding and finding the money if they aren't, you know, your relatives, if you aren't in the country club, if you don't know a cousin, a godbrother, a distant, you know, that's how it works.
And I'm sure in ways it just mirrors our society on that level. You founded two primary organizations. Let's start with the Greenwood Project. What's the purpose and function of that company?
So the Greenwood Project is a product of Obama's Jobs Act. It was a law that went into effect May 2016, and it allows people to invest in private companies for the first time ever. So long story short, back 80 plus years ago, right after the market crashed and the Great Depression, the government decided that people who didn't have a net worth of $1 million weren't sophisticated enough to make investments. The government said that they were trying to protect its citizens from losing more money in volatile trades. And as a result, people who were wealthy enough were exclusively reserved the right to invest in private companies. So this is where you get the term of an angel investor. And not only is that someone who invests in companies, but it's actually a legal term for how much money someone is worth, at least at a minimum. But anyway, fast forward May 2016, this 80-year law has changed. And so now this wealth requirement to invest in private companies is abolished. And now anyone, regardless of their wealth, can pull money into a private company like an Uber. And so just to kind of put some things in perspective, if the founders of Uber, if Travis walked to your door 4 years ago and was like, hey, I have this great company. I think it'll be worth $1 billion one day. You know, do you have a couple bucks to, you know, give me a chance? And, you know, and Vivian, you're like, hey, I think that's a good idea. I've had issues, you know, hailing a cab. You know, Uber may be worth a shot. You know, here's a, you know, let's say you just want to do $100. Here's $100 to your idea. If your net worth wasn't at least $1 million, it would be illegal for you to own that stock in Uber, even if it was just a small amount of $100. Now, usually it's much, you know, larger investments. But the point is, regardless, you can make any investment unless you are wealthy enough. And so now that the wealth requirement is removed as per the Jobs Act, the Greenwood Project is collecting different projects, different businesses in the cannabis industry, traditional small businesses and others, and are connecting them to regular investors who want to invest in and own equity in these businesses. And the cannabis industry is perfect for the new system that allows anyone to invest. It's been amazing so far.
My guest is Rashawn Everett from the Greenwood Project. We're going to take what we call on hand present our first pause for the cause, because there's flaws in the laws, so we can hear a word from our sponsor and advertiser. We are just getting started, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hand present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Introducing 420 Cloud, ignited by MSIG, one of the fastest growing social apps around. The only app you'll need for all things cannabis. Find the latest cannabis news, videos, and stories, ranging from business and tech to sports and medicine. Start your career in cannabis by seeking, identifying, and applying for jobs through our expansive listings. For businesses, 420cloud.com features a full-scale cross-channel network, monetizing high traffic for big data conversion and analytics. Download 420 Cloud now from the iTunes Store or Google Play. MSIG.com is a publicly listed company on the OTC, symbol MCIG.
At Alternative Vibes, our core values of quality, loyalty, respect, and honesty guides us in our mission to help families find peace and harmony through our products and services. Whether you are looking for a more natural way of living, shopping for essential oils, topicals, and edibles, or searching for a path towards achieving your goals, we are your choice. Learn more about our complete line of natural products and solutions at alternativevibes.com. Bringing quality of living to life. alternativevibes.com.
Cannabis concentrates have been around for hundreds of centuries. In 19th century America, extracts mixed with other herbs were sold as a miracle cure. Now, Apex Supercritical has elevated the science of extraction into the 21st century. Apex Supercritical is the leader in CO2 extraction, which is the cleanest, safest, and purest way to extract plant oils. ROI in as little as 3 weeks. Our cost-effective systems are fully automated with an industry-leading 3-year warranty. And if we don't have your system in stock, we can build one in as little as 4 weeks. Bringing CO2 extraction to the masses. Learn more at apeksupercritical.com. 4-week build excludes high production systems.
We're back to Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong emperor of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
And we're back with Rashawn Everett. Rashawn, we talked about the Greenwood Project a little bit. You also founded Growing Talent. What does that organization do?
So Growing Talent works directly with people of color, especially HBCU graduates. So that's historically Black colleges and universities, although we work with all forms of upper education, to just recruit eligible entrepreneurs, business people into the cannabis industry. And a huge emphasis of Growing Talent, and something that I want to remind the viewers of, is just how many different ways there are to benefit financially from the industry. And that's referring to like ancillary services. So things like lab testing and packaging and just, you know, pure distribution from a trucking logistics standpoint, education, you know, retail opportunities, so training, bud tenders, and then also education opportunities from an institution standpoint. We have to kind of figure out how we can facilitate some type of education for the industry, like who knows how to grow marijuana. You know, we have to kind of get some type of a certificate program and get people of color exposed to these new job networks, because as we know about the $60 billion market share, but obviously we want to make sure, in addition to this, the ownership perspective, that we have our fair share of accountants, lawyers, bookkeepers, drivers, bud tenders, event planners like you even, everything involved in the industry. Growing Talent works to recruit people and find a way that we can get them involved however closely they want to be. So like I said, whether it's as much as, you know, touching the plant and opening a dispensary, or simply, you know, training the community, or hosting recovery shops. You know, even though now it's going to be legal, there's so many opportunities in industry. And Growing Talent just wants to help people recognize that.
And, you know, so in addition to growing or cultivating and retailing cannabis, it's kind of, there's the picks and shovels factor, right, of all the various connected industries, all the way into the industrial hemp industry. But speaking of the former, you have written, "Good Tree is only the beginning of a movement to destigmatize and legitimize medical marijuana services in order to facilitate more stable and prosperous local economies in the United States." What is Good Tree, and how is it accomplishing those goals?
Okay, Good Tree is a pilot project of Growing Talent. It's the first company to receive a medical license under the new 2016 provisions that came out. And it will be up for a new license in 2017. But it's essentially a pilot project that we're running out of Long Beach, California now. So it's about 20 miles south of the city of L.A. And it's just really implementing the action plan. It's leveraging technology and different people of color and really great products and great services all into one brand, and delivering it straight to the customer. It launched July 1st, and so far it's been extremely successful. We clocked in over 30,000 in sales last month. We're on track to hit 40,000 this month. We're still turning away over half of our potential sales because they don't have the California medical recommendation card. So, you know, it's about 3 months in and we're running, you know, $1 million business already. It's super exciting. And it's just kind of like a proof and pilot as to what people can do, people of color and everyone in the industry, if afforded a proper opportunity.
Awesome. Rashawn, Daryl Hill, known for integrating college football when he was young a half a century ago, a successful businessman without any criminal record and a good amount of capital, he applied for a cultivation license in Maryland, and he was rejected, along with more than a dozen other African-American applicants for Maryland cultivation licenses. How prevalent do you think it is that other qualified African-American applicants are overlooked in the permit process in the marijuana industry? You think that, I mean, it might seem obvious, but do you think there's a racial bias involved in the selection process?
Absolutely. Not only do I believe there's a racial bias, I believe more cities should follow the lead of Oakland and then here now in Los Angeles installing social equity programs to actually act as a sort of affirmative action, allocating licenses and opportunities to minorities. It's not okay for a community, cities, legislators to expect things to be even and fair now as part of a licensing process. Like I said, we have so many of our leaders and entrepreneurs in jail for cannabis. So when it comes to licensing and giving out future opportunities, it's absolutely pivotal that politicians are aware of the inequalities we face and then make an actual program to overcome and try and right some of the wrongs. Like I said, it has to be at this point, I believe every city needs a some type of affirmative action social equity program that works harder to introduce people of color, especially to the industry. And then speaking on Mr. Hill and his situation, it happens often. Like I said, you referred to it earlier with the Old Boys Club, and it goes into politics. Those licenses, commissions, big contracts, as they usually refer to, you know, are awarded to people who look like them, who they know, who they went to school with. It's all networking. And so when you're, you know, getting people exposed or you're analyzing these applications from people of color and the people reviewing the applications, the people in power have no relationship, no empathy, no real understanding. We're going to get a lot more outcomes like Maryland until people take the requisite step of saying, you know, something was unfair for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and we're going to make a disciplined effort to right some of those wrongs.
You know, and let's, you know, let's actually identify the elephant in the room here, that the stigma. There's probably communities that don't want or would fear black-owned pot operations. I mean, there's a lot of communities don't even want any pot operation, recreational cannabis operation going on, right?
Right. I mean, I say to those, I think that marijuana isn't going away. I think that you can try and, you know, protest or I guess avoid it if you like. I recommend people instead try and understand the plant more, understand the risk and understand the benefits to the community, because like I said, everything has pros and cons. So I challenge people who are wary of dispensaries to really, really understand the potential benefit, both financial and to the actual population. You know, we've seen the studies where it's helped kind of with the opioid epidemic and getting people off of some of those drugs. So there's tons of different ramifications. And I think that almost any reasonable person can find an agreeable way, I guess, to adopt a reasonably run dispensary in their city. And that brings me to my second point about reasonably run, and I guess you implied about black-owned dispensaries. I think the oversight is critical across the industry, just like it is with any product. And, you know, I'm not asking for dispensaries of color to have certain rules or certain immunities. We just want an opportunity to follow the rules like everyone else. And, you know, like, as long as the rules are fair and, you know, enforced the same, I think that's all that we want, and the best that we can ask for is a fair shot to follow the rules and have those rules enforced fairly. So that's it, and that's all.
We only have about 1 minute before the next break. African Americans have been just disproportionately targeted, prosecuted, incarcerated in the process of the drug war. You know, a black male is four times more likely to be arrested for pot possession than a black male. There's programs such as the National Minority Business Council and National Cannabis Business and Cannabis Industry Association also working on getting more people involved in the cannabis, people of color involved in the cannabis. How can people help increase minority representation in the pot industry? And we got about 30 seconds.
I think just the general awareness is the first step. I think that getting involved, you know, following different movements, staying close to local politics, understanding what's going on in your community. If there's a reason you're opposed to cannabis, go voice that. And then that'll also give you an opportunity to hear from people who have a rebuttal to your argument. So my biggest challenge to people is to just go get involved and find out more, voice your concerns, and then be respectful and understanding and just listen to opposing viewpoint.
Rashawn Everett doing the important work. Don't go anywhere. We're going to have another break. Hear our word from our sponsored advertiser. Come back with our final questions.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Introducing Blue Moon CBD, straight from the bluegrass of Kentucky. With our special nano emulsion process, you'll not only get the best CBD available, you'll get more of it. Not all CBD is the same. It's your body. It's your choice. Get relief from inflammation, anxiety, and stress. Go to www.bluemoonhemp.com and use code HEMP420 for a 20% discount on your order. Balance your body. Balance your life. Make it Blue Moon CBD.
The smoke is rising, and the next crop of podcasts devoted to cannabis providers and enthusiasts are ready to be harvested.
Welcome to the Cannabis Radio Network,
founded by respected rainmakers who have been producing award-winning podcasts for over a decade. Industry headlines, business updates, medical reports, marketing, and e-commerce education rolled up perfectly for your consumption. Let's grow together. The Cannabis Radio Network. CannabisRadio.com.
Ignite the conversation on some trending topics along the Cannabis Radio social media network. Join our crew of thousands on our Cannabis Radio page on Facebook or at Canna Radio, C-A-N-N-A Radio on Twitter. Plus, look for our Facebook and Google Plus pages for all of our original programs and connect with Dr. Dina, Kyle Cushman, Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Nurse Heather, Doc Rob, the hosts of Gondrepreneur, and more. Connect with the growing Cannabis Radio social crusade at Canna Radio on Twitter or search for Cannabis Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and Instagram and grow with us.
We're back to Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong hemperer of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
And we're back with Rashawn Everett. Rashawn, your work is just so important, and you know, it's just really so critical and impressive. What message would you like to leave with my listeners? I've got listeners on many other continents. What would you like folks to take away from this interview most?
Just to get involved. Most importantly, stay aware. Know that you know, things haven't always been fair for people of color. And you know, we aren't asking for apologies. We aren't asking you know, for you guys to admit you're wrong or anything else. Like I said, all we want now is just a fair opportunity to participate. And I think that that's, you know, a fundamental right for anyone. We just want the a fair chance to follow the same rules that everyone else has as far as minorities and cannabis. And in addition, like I said, if you don't want to own a dispensary, even if there's just funds you're interested in investing and you want to participate in other ways, then keep in touch with the Greenwood Project. We'll have tons of different projects available for investment. You'll get the link from Vivian later on, but stay involved with different opportunities. The Greenwood Project is connecting, like I said, potential investors to all different lucrative forms of cannabis ventures. So we'll have different types of festivals that you can own equity in, different types of shops and farms and cultivation that will be available for investment. So just stay educated, stay connected via greenwoodproject.net.
That's right, www.greenwoodproject.net. Rashawn, thanks for so much for being on the show, man. I just really, really support what you're doing. It's just totally, you know, crucial work that has to happen, man. So thanks so much for taking time to be on the show.
Oh, man, thank you so much for having me, Vivian. I appreciate it.
Now, I want to get to a weekly feature, Hemp Present, on CannabisRadio.com. That's the quote of the week, and here it is, and I quote, "That formal market is already $6 billion. What's more, when you factor in the illicit market, we think total cannabis spending in the U.S. is already worth $30 billion. And that's Cohen analyst Vivian Azer in one of her firm's Ahead of the Curve videos. That concludes this installment of Hemp Percent on Cannabis Radio. I want to thank Brasco, my man in the control room, and all the Cannabis Radio sponsors and advertisers. Join me next week for some more reefer repartee and cannabis confabulation with some special Hempo Sapien on a journey to justice as we silence the violence, increase the peace, and promote unity in the cannabis community with impunity. Because when it comes to prohibition, you've got the right not to remain silent. Activism requires a voice, so find yours and speak up for justice, because resistance is fertile. Until then, my friends, stay strong, stand tall, and toke it easy. Don't forget to email me at hemppresent@gmail.com. The Hemp Present theme song, Take Back the Plants, performed by Sticker Bush and sung by a much younger version of myself. Turn up the music, maestro. I'm out. Marijuana!
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without proper consent of CannabisRadio.com is prohibited.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.